use the facts of baptism to others who really hold a view that's not biblical. We turn over the game because we don't talk about it and we don't make a big thing of it. We, as Presbyterians, don't talk enough about baptism. Those who believe in immersion talk about it all the time. And so we lose by default. Well, I don't want us to lose by default. I want you to know something about how baptism really is in the Bible, so that you can talk about it, think about it, defend it, whatever you need to do with it. Become baptized. The first thing that we want to see is that the word itself surely does not mean immerse. We're told the word baptism means immerse. All the books say it, all the people say it, and yet I'm concerned about what the Bible says about this word baptism, baptizo, as it is in the Greek. We read in 1 Corinthians 12:13, we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we're all made to drink one Spirit. Baptized into one body. Now think for a moment. If you were immersed into the body of Christ, that would mean that you were put into it and taken out of it again. Right? If you were baptized the way that some people do, they put you in the water and then they take you out of the water again. They don't leave you underneath the water, I hope. And so it's very clear that when you're baptized into one body, that it's a union that takes place and remains that way. It's not a dipping into and taking out of, but it's putting two things together so that they remain together. And this is something that we want to see as is basic to the whole concept of baptism. What it really talks about is union. It talks about merging, as we're going to see, one thing with another. As we're in 1 Corinthians, we might turn back a little bit to 1 Corinthians 10. And as you look back at 1 Corinthians 10, the first five verses are extremely interesting. They talk about the wilderness experience. And so Paul says, they were, verse 1, I don't want you to be ignorant, brothers, about the fathers. They were all under the cloud, all passed through the sea, all were baptized into Moses. Not dipped into Moses, surely. All were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. The people who got immersed were the Egyptians, you understand, and not the people of God. It was the Egyptians who were flooded by that sea. And so it says, all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and sea. All ate the same spiritual food. All drank the same spiritual rock. What it's talking about, but with most of them, he was talking about is all had the same experience. All were united in that same experience. We were baptized into Moses. That is, we were united with him in these experiences. Everybody was under the cloud. Everybody went through the sea. So when we're united, that's the idea that we see constantly in the Scriptures. Look at the benediction where Jesus speaks and he says that we are to take the gospel into all the world, baptizing people into the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Are we to be dipped into the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit and removed again? Or are we united? Are we identified with? Are we made one with the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit? Those all have the concept of union. All have the concept of coming together into something that remains that way. But what about Romans 6, you say? We're baptized into Christ, buried and risen again. Sure, there isn't a drop of water in Romans 6. It's not talking about being baptized into water. It says being baptized into Christ. Now, certainly, again, we're not dipped into Christ and taken out of Christ, but we are united with Christ, baptized into Christ, united with Him in such a way that every experience that He went through, we also are looked upon as having gone through. Baptized into Christ, risen with Christ, seated in the heavenlies with Christ. We were even said in the Scriptures to be circumcised with Christ. Get the picture. Here I have a pot, and I take a little bean, and I put the bean in the pot. And there's a bean in the pot. Now I take the pot, and I put the pot on the ground. Where's the bean? The bean's in the pot. Well, where's the pot? Pot's on the ground, so the bean's on the ground. Now I take the pot and the bean and I put them up here. Where's the bean? The bean's up here because it's in the pot. Wherever the pot is, the bean goes. So the same picture is the picture of being baptized into Christ. We are so identified with Him that all He did in all of His experiences, all of that is attributed to us as though we went through that experience. As though we were baptized, we were circumcised, we were baptized, we were crucified with Christ, we were risen with Christ, now we're seated in the heavenlies with Christ. Everything in the Scriptures goes to tell us that we are in Christ. And that's what baptism is all about, being merged with Jesus Christ, brought into a union with Him that is lasting, not something temporary where we are dipped into it once and for all. If you're sitting down with your friend at the local donut shop, all right, and you're going to have some donuts and coffee, and you're talking here, you get on the subject of baptism, how do you illustrate what we're talking about? Well, he says, what you do is you take your donut and you dunk it into your coffee and you eat it. We say, no, that's not a picture of baptism at all. We're not baptized into Christ and taken out. The picture that we want you to see, we're going to take the cream and we're going to pour it into that, and the two remain with one another. The cream is in the coffee. It affects the coffee. It changes the coffee. The coffee and the cream become one because they are identified one with another. So next time you're talking baptism, as I'm sure you will be at some time or other in your life at the next donut shop, you know what to do. Don't let them get away with this dunking business. Besides, you're going to Krispy Kreme. You're not going to go to a donut shop. So, all right. Now, in baptism, what do we find? Well, the word immerse is a very mistaken kind of idea as a translation of the word baptism. You know, when the rich man and Lazarus are pictured, one and the other in eternity, one in hell and one in heaven. The rich man says, I am tormented in this flame. Will you please put your finger in the water and bring it over and touch my tongue and at least give me some relief? Now, the word that's used for dipping the finger in the water is a close term to baptism. Baptizo is the word for baptism. But it is the word bapto, B-A-P-T-O, whereas baptizo is B-A-P-T-Z-O, and T-I-Z-O. And the difference is, one means to put in and take out, and the other means to put together. And he didn't mean for him to dip his finger in and leave it there. He meant to put his finger in, take it out, bring it over, and stick it on his tongue. And that's exactly what the word bapto means. Testament times, because it was a picture of exactly what happened at the baptism of Christ. When the heavens were open and the Spirit came down upon, Christ was in that baptism being anointed as the Anointed One. When did He take His office as the Anointed One, the Messiah, if it was not then? Of course that was the time when it took place, when John the Baptist anointed Jesus with water on that occasion. You say, John the Baptist didn't do that. John dipped people in the water. No, he didn't. No, he didn't. Let's look at John 3:35. Well, John is as clear as anybody could teach us what baptism is about, what it's not. In John 3, we have an interesting experience because in John 3, there is a conversation that takes place between one of John's disciples and a Jew. It says in verse 22, we go back there. After this, Jesus and his disciples went into the land of Judea, and he spent some time there with them and baptized. John was baptizing in Enon near Salem because there are many waters there. Now, I want to also talk about that phrase before we get any further. The place Enon is named Springs. That's what the Greek word Enon meant. Bring it over into English, and it means springs. And so he was baptizing in a place called Springs because there were many waters there. It says in your King James, very wrongly, here's where King James did us in again. It says much water there in the King James, but that is not what it says. In the Greek, it's hudatapala, many waters. And if you turn to the Baptist translation by Helen Montgomery, Helen Montgomery was honest enough to write many waters instead of much water. And that was published by the Baptist Publication Society. So Helen Montgomery's translation was in part correct because what it has is many waters there. So if there are many waters there and the place is named Springs, you can put two and two together. And I think you're going to find not John baptizing because there was deep water there, a lot of water there, but baptizing there because everywhere he went in the area, he could find a little water from a spring here or a spring there or a spring someplace else. The place was named Springs. But let's see what goes on. So they went into the land of Judea and he spent some time there doing this. John hadn't yet been thrown into prison. Therefore, there arose a discussion between John's disciples and a Jew about cleansing or purification, your King James says. About cleansing or purification. Well, what is cleansing? What is purification? How is cleansing done in the Bible? Is there such a thing as cleansing done in the Bible? Oh, yes, all through the Old Testament. In the Old Testament rituals, there was purification or cleansing, which was a very vital part of all the services. And you know how it was done? Sprinkle the water of purification upon them. Just turn to Numbers 19. And if you go back to Hebrews 9 in the New Testament, which is commenting on those, it talks about there were many baptisms in the Old Testament, it says. Many baptisms. Well, how could there be many baptisms? Well, there was baptism by water. There was baptism by water mixed with ashes. There was baptism with ashes, and there was baptism with blood. There were many kinds, different kinds of baptism. All the baptisms in the Old Testament were not the same. But you certainly don't want to think of people being immersed into blood or being immersed into ashes, do you? And yet those are the things that are called baptisms in the New Testament that refer back to all of these Old Testament baptisms in which the various sprinklings took place. Baptism was always by sprinkling. How do you think the 3,000 got sprinkled in one day or the 5,000, got baptized in one day? And do you think that they were going to let them use the local water system as limited as water was in Jerusalem to dip all these people who never bathed but once a year anyway in that pool? No way. The way they baptized people in the Old Testament when they sprinkled the blood or the water or the ashes or the water and ashes was to take a twig of hyssop. Remember Paul, David says, purge me with hyssop or purify me with hyssop or cleanse me with hyssop. He was talking about his sin and he was saying, here's the outer symbol of what needs to be done. A hyssop was a little springy plant. You know how at the table, and kids, you shouldn't do this, but you know how you take something on your fork and you hold, or your spoon, and you take part of it, you pull it back, and you shoot it across the table with somebody else. That's not advice today. That's not what you're supposed to do, but you want to get the picture. Well, that's what hyssop was like. It was springy. You could hold it back, and it would go like that. Or better still, you take it, and you take the hyssop and you spray all kinds of people real fast. I can get 3,000 people done in no time myself if I'm using hyssop the way they did. There's no problem at all. And so you begin to see that the picture in the Bible is a very different picture than what many people have represented it to be. But I want to be baptized like my Lord, says somebody. Well, now look, Jesus was baptized exactly the same way as anyone else. The Holy Spirit came down upon him, and the picture of it was the dove coming down upon him in his baptism. So, we have so many instances that we could talk about. We'll just talk about one more. Remember the Philippian jailer. Philippian jailer, when they came, were taken into jail before they knew that Paul was a Roman citizen. They beat them very viciously, beat them on the back, and their backs were bloody and torn, and they were thrown into the inner prison. And then the Lord freed them by the chains falling off, and everybody was ready to go, except they didn't go. And the jailer was ready to kill himself because the torture he would have received from Rome and not fulfilling his job would have been worse than killing himself. So he was ready to put himself to death because he thought he had lost all of his prisoners. But Paul said, no, we're all here. Don't do yourself any harm. And then Paul began to talk to him. He had heard them singing hymns, even though their backs were bloody and the rest of it. And Paul began to talk to him and to his family. And they came to faith in Jesus Christ right there on the spot. And it says at midnight, now get this, that they were baptized, he and all his family. And you believe that this man thrown in the inner prison with his back lacerated and blood all over the place is going to come out at midnight and go find a river someplace and baptize that Philippian jailer? Not on your life. Probably with the same water that it says he washed their stripes, what tore their back up into various stripes of flesh. Probably in some of that same water he took it and he baptized them in a biblical fashion. And you'll notice in every one of these instances where the Spirit came down upon, sat upon, fell upon, was poured out upon, descended upon, was an anointing in every one of them, the Spirit, or the water, whichever it's talking about in each instance, is applied to the person. The person is never put into the water. The person is not applied to the water at all, but the water and the person and the Spirit are applied to the person. It's always backwards when you got somebody going underneath the water. Because what's happening is that God is taking the initiative. He's the one who's doing something to an individual. He's the one who's coming into his life. He's the one whose Spirit has now entered in, and that's what we're picturing through baptism. His Spirit has come and transformed that individual by coming into his life. And you remember, the Spirit came upon Jesus Christ, and then he went out, and he was tempted, and he went out to do his ministry. He didn't minister before that time. But when the Spirit came, then he went out to do the ministry that the Spirit led him to do. So, my friends, I want to urge you to stand firm in this matter. Don't find yourself being moved away from it by somebody telling you about a wonderful experience that he or she has had in getting placed underneath the water. Ask them why they were ever brought up. Ask them why, if that's the symbol of merging, why they ever came out of it. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. Well, why would God put you in and take you out of that same body? The word baptism means merge. That's what it means. Not immerse, but merse or merge as it comes over into English. And that's the same as unite or put two things together so that they stay together. So at the coffee shop, at your Dunkin' Donuts, or at wherever you go, be sure that you talk about the cream in the cup, not just the nut that's dipped in and taken out. Let's pray. Father, we're very grateful today that we have a Bible that's not uncertain, that's not unclear, does not leave us wondering, but makes it very plain what you're up to. We thank you that these sprinklings of the Old Testament which were not new to these people at all when John began to baptize, what they understood as symbols of cleansing and repentance and so on. And so they let John baptize them. We thankful, Lord, that these symbols have been consistent throughout the ages, in the Old Testament, in the New, and even into our time. And that we may be able to understand what they really mean, that we are united with Christ so that His whole experience is attributed to us as though we had gone through it ourselves. Thank You, Lord, that we have been baptized into Christ, for we pray in His name. Amen.